Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Monday as we get you ready for the week. And boy, we're going to have so much fun this week gearing up for the playoffs.
Yeah, we will.
So what is the good of the day?
The good of the day. The only thing that could interrupt NFL Week 18 was a gravity-defying block by Ja Morant.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, Ja Morant is great.
It came across my timeline yesterday, or, you know, like I actually got an alert on my phone. And I said, well, I have to check this out. If, you know, you get a block, that's an alert on your phone. And I'll paint the picture for you. He lost the ball, gathered his senses, went back. It was a two-handed block. He literally caught the ball out of it, looking like Dwight Clark catching it in the back of the end zone. He jumped so high that his elbow hit the backboard, which freed the ball for a second, but freed it to himself. And then he dribbled down the field, down the court and made a basket.
It is.
It was amazing.
It's already being plagued as block of the year.
It very well might be.
And LeBron loved it. He actually said, "Man, that's good. That's good." The Memphis Grizzlies are on a roll. They've won nine
they
in a row. They beat the Lakers and the Clippers on this trip to L.A. Morant's, but he is fantastic.
He's a player.
He really is. And you know what? We were talking about this with Lee Ellis last week. The weird thing about this Grizzlies team is they can find a way to win without Ja Morant. When he was hurt, they were still winning games.
Yeah.
And we all remember if I have to take you back, remember this was the kid from Murray State that led the Murray State Racers in the NCAA tournament.
It's a made-up school if I ever heard one.
Yes, they are. The Racers, and their logo is a horse because of Kentucky being in the state.
Yeah.
But he was one of the bright stars of the NCAA tournament back in 2019, I think. I think it was, because I think that was the year he was drafted. Because he's only been in the league a handful of years. But he's magnificent. That was a great block.
Yeah.
And then
just one more added good was, Klay Thompson did return.
And he
played well. 17 points in his first game back.
That's right. That's right.
You'll take it.
You get rolling along pretty quickly. It's funny, too, because Golden State had gone, they had lost to, New Orleans. They were on this road trip. They were just closing out this road trip. And then they get back home and they get Klay Thompson. And it's like, yes, feeling good now.
I mean,
look out, NBA.
Just an embarrassment.
They trounced Cleveland. And Cleveland's a good team. Cleveland's not a great team, but Cleveland's a pretty good team.
No, it's a solid team.
It's a solid team. And they trounced them.
Yeah. It's just an embarrassment of riches for the Warriors right now.
I know.
Ridiculous.
What a great addition Klay Thompson is. Give me a break.
It's not fair, really.
It really isn't fair. What's the bad of the day?
I left it here. It's not really bad, but we were having fun with it last week, and we're going to continue having fun with it this week. So our long national nightmare, Tony, is over.
Is it?
For now.
Okay.
An Australian judge reinstated Novak Djokovic's visa.
That's right.
And ordered him to be released from his hotel jail cell.
Yeah.
Within 30 minutes of his decision.
Yeah. They were trapping him in a hotel while he was appealing this COVID situation.
Right.
He was trapped in this non-suite hotel, they wanted you to know. They wanted you to know he wasn't getting special treatment. He was being put in this one. How would you like to be the owner of that hotel where it's constantly on the internet? It's disgusting. It's awful. He's going to really hate staying there. He's not getting special treatment. By the way, your next visit to Melbourne, please stay at the blah, 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 blah.
That's right.
When we finally do open it up for tourists.
Maybe it's government housing.
Yeah, maybe it is.
So. I don't know. But here's the kicker.
Right? So what does it mean?
So right now, this is what it means. If you just look at he essentially is a free man, right? His dad can no longer describe him as Jesus.
Yeah, can't make the Jesus comparison.
Can't make the Jesus comparison. He can play in the Australian Open.
But
as government lawyer Christopher Tran pointed out, and he told the judges after the ruling, that the Minister for Immigration, Citizenship, Migrant Services, and Multicultural Affairs, Alex Hawke, he will consider whether to exercise a personal power of cancellation.
So that guy has got the choice to deport him if he wants to?
Yeah.
Now, at that moment, could anybody step in and stop that? Is it stop with this hawk guy?
I don't know.
That it?
I mean,
it's buck stop with him.
It sounds to me it's like an executive decision that if he says nope, he didn't fit the criteria, he's out.
I got to be honest with you. I would lose sleep over this if I
if
was
you're
the
hawk,
one to make this.
Alex Hawk.
I would lose sleep over this to choose to try to figure out if the world's best tennis player should be allowed to stay in your country to compete in the in one of the biggest events your country has, or to deport him and make super international news. I don't know if I'd want to make that decision. I would be scared I made the wrong one.
Yeah.
Because if the buck stops with him, I mean, nobody could step in and be like, either if I say he can stay, he stays. If I say he has to go, he has to go. Man, I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want that gig. I'd be like the guy that had to hand the death penalty on SMU and have a heart attack.
The whole thing is just a mess. It's just like a...
I know.
I mean, I don't really watch the Australian Open anyways because it's, you know, it's on.
Yeah, it's on like
midnight.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, but this makes it interesting. I mean, you're wanting to see what happens. Like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play?
Yeah.
Is he going to get deported? I mean, this is the most I think we've ever talked about the Australian Open 2 weeks before it actually happens.
Yeah, no kidding.
So.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story.
Yeah. Until for now, I just keep it in the bad.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the whole story is funny.
All right. What's the dumb of the day?
I actually have two dumbs, and they both belong to the Giants.
Okay.
The New York Football Giants.
New York Football Giants.
So the first one, and it will be quick. Patricia Traina, who's the editor of GiantsCountry.com for Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
She had pointed out that the Giants did not have enough cap space this past weekend to carry a full 53-man roster.
What? Isn't there a person on the payroll that is responsible for just that?
Well, that would be, you know, I guess all fingers point to Dave Gettleman,
yeah,
the general manager.
He might have a personal cap guy that deals with, like...
Well, everyone's assuming Dave Gettleman is out. That he's either he's going to be fired or he's going to resign.
Somebody's got to fall for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they only had 51 men on the roster yesterday.
Good God. Do the second one because I might add something on if this second one isn't the second one.
Well, the second one is the play of the season.
Okay. I was just going to add this if you didn't add this, but go ahead.
So, if you didn't catch it, and I believe you probably didn't unless you were cruising social media, the Giants ran possibly the worst play or the worst play call, I think, in the history of the NFL.
And this would beat that crazy Miami Dolphins
from
a couple
far.
Of years ago.
That play actually looks intelligent now, Tony.
Yeah, because this was head-scratching and vocal screaming at the same
time.
This
was, you know what, I don't care about football anymore.
Right.
There's no analytics behind this. Just so you guys know what it is. The Giants are on their own 4-yard line, meaning they're 4 yards away from getting a safety.
Yep.
They're having a safety tackle.
Getting a safety.
It's 3rd and 9, and the play call was a quarterback sneak.
A quarterback sneak. And this was after they had ran a quarterback sneak on 2nd down.
Yes.
And he ran it again. Because he said at the end of the game, Joe Judge did, he said he didn't want to risk getting a safety on a running play. They had a running play against, was it Philadelphia? Last week, yeah, Philadelphia. Where they ran the ball and they got tackled for a safety. So he didn't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
So on 2nd down, he ran the quarterback sneak, which I don't like it. That's more of a 1st down call to give you see if you can get a little workable room.
Yeah, give yourself some breathing
area. It's excusable.
Area.
It's forgettable, right? It's forgettable. You could run it on 2nd down and not get anything, and it's forgettable.
But third and nine
is immortalized as one of the dumbest things in the history of the game.
I mean,
like, that's okay, how quickly you go from forgettable to Hall of Fame bad.
And again, like you said, I understand, like, you know, if you're backed into your 5 yards or less, right?
Right.
You're going to run, like you said, you're going to run the ball probably on 1st down, maybe even 2nd down, to try to give yourself a little room. to not even attempt a pass.
On third down.
On third and nine. Because even if you decide to run a play.
Even
like
if it's a short
play,
pass.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't get the first down, like, you've given yourself a little bit of breathing room. It's okay.
I mean, are they that inept as a team?
Ugh.
I don't know. That's why I could not wait to talk about it. Because I watched that play a couple of times. Because I tried to make sense out of it, and I can't.
Yeah. My father was tweeting me yesterday. He was texting me about the Steelers. He's like, "Say, way to go, Steelers!" And then he said, he was on the Joe Judge, like, give him one more year train because he's a huge Giants fan. He said to me, "I'm done with Joe Judge. That's it." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Because the next coach," he goes, "that would be 5 and 8 seasons." And at first I thought, that's not right. That they've had 5 head coaches in 8 seasons? And then I looked it up. He's absolutely right. Like, in terms of interim coaches, like, who've taken over. Like, they had Pat Shermer, they had Bob McAdoo. It would start at Tom Coughlin, Bob McAdoo, then, like, Pat Shermer, and then another interim coach, and then Joe Judge.
Is it sad that the only thing I remember about Bob McAdoo's reign as the Giants coach was his oversized suit?
Oh, yeah. And the other thing was he benched Eli Manning.
Yeah.
He was the guy that ended the streak. He was the guy that ended Eli's
And then started
the
him the next week.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, ended the streak for no good reason at all. And then went, yeah, why not? Yeah, let's start it all up again. Yeah.
Eli.
I was amazed by that number that they've had 5 and 8 seasons. Because, again, like, that just doesn't seem right, right? Like, that seems like Cleveland Brown-esque, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And then when I looked it up, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, they had a guy there for a year. And then I went. And I texted him, I said, I've only had 3 in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What is this 5 and 8 years you speak of?
Like, how many guys you've had? I'm trying to remember all the coaches the Giants have had since I was a little kid and my dad liked the Giants. Like, from Ray Hanley to Ray Perkins. Like, to forget Bill Parcells. That was the good times.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, and all of the other terrible coaches that they've had.
Then Jim Fossil.
Jim Fossil. Yeah.
Fossil,
Jim Fossil,
yeah.
Was the head coach there. Tom Coughlin got him a couple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So that's,
well,
that,
you
that
put
was
Tom,
a good era.
You put Tom, like, in the same category as, like, Bill Parcells, right?
Giving him a Super Bowl.
I'm not saying resume or overall as a quality coach.
Parcells is the best coach they've had.
Yeah.
Coughlin's up there. I mean, he's got 2 Super Bowls against Patriots, nonetheless. That's pretty good.
He did a great job.
Pretty good. Like, what do I always say? If you can get 2 or 3 in your lifetime, like, God, like, that's really all you need. Like, that's all you really should expect. Like, you shouldn't expect 5 or 6 in your lifetime. You get 3 or 4, that's a lifetime's worth of championships in this league. So if you can get a coach that can get you 2, yeah, it's Hall of Fame. Put him in the Ring of Fame. Exactly.
Yeah. 3rd and 9, quarterback sneak.
That's not going to get you in the Ring of Fame. Joe Judge. That's awesome. Golly, it's terrible. What a terrible team. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Emory Hunt's going to join us in a couple of minutes. We'll talk to him about the NFL playoffs and the Week 18 fun that we had as we continue with Wake Up Call.